Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wellness Ultimatum Radio Show. My name is Omar Cumberbatch. I'm your host today. I have a great guest today. We have AC Atlanta. AC is a certified personal trainer and motivational speaker whose main goal is to share the most innovative ways to lose weight and stay healthy by changing the way we think. AC believes the most conventional weight loss programs are generally good. However, focusing on the mind and changing the thought process first will enhance just about any weight loss program to become excellent. Based in Atlanta, Georgia, AC has developed his own free 90-day weight loss challenge to help transform individuals from the inside out. AC's approach not only has helped so many lose weight and start a healthy lifestyle, but has also helped individuals deal with stress and depression by taking a positive approach to their problems. I'd like to welcome AC to the show. How are you, AC?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Omar. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
No, the pleasure is all mine. And I just want to even let you know and the audience know, I get a lot of personal trainers who want to be on the show. And, you know, I don't generally like to talk about just the physical component to it. And when I finally saw you, I really, really enjoyed the fact that you really put a positive mindset to this. And I'm just really happy that you put, like, a mental component to your personal training. And I just want to give you an opportunity to just give the audience a little bit of information, you know, about yourself and how you got to be a personal trainer who emphasizes that part of training.
Sure. You know, I really never aspired to do personal training. I didn't know that was a part of my agenda. I was in corporate America for years, and one day, you know, I decided that it wasn't for me anymore, and I actually just walked away one day. I knew it was coming. You know, you always, most people have this feeling inside that you're destined to do something, to be great in some kind of capacity, but you just don't know what it is. I knew I was destined and put here to make a positive difference, but I always tried to control that and make it what I thought it should be. And, you know, one day I walked away from corporate America, and, you know, for a whole year I thought I made the worst decision in my life. I didn't know what I was going to do. I ran through my savings and my finances and still didn't know what I was going to do. But in the meantime, I was always interested in taking care of the body because I never looked at the body as something for a showpiece to others. I always looked at it as a machine that just takes around, that transports the soul. And that was always with me, you know, all my life. So I was always taking care of my body in the first place. And as in doing that, you know, a lot of people would come to me and ask me questions on how to do this and how to do that. And my answer would always be, you know, you have to change the way you think. There's nothing you can do for your body until you once change the way you think, and you really have to want to change in order to make a change. You know, and I start looking at people and seeing that some people take more care of their car than they do their body. But what does your car do? Your car carries you around. It transports you from A, point A to point B. And that's the exact same way I look at the body. It transports our soul from point A to point B. And if you don't give your car the maintenance that it needs, and if you don't give your car the care that it needs, eventually it's going to break down, or it has to go and get that maintenance, and it's going to cost you a whole lot of money. And that same concept can be looked at with our body. But we first have to change our thought process to say, I have to do this for me. I want to be healthy. I want to move forward. I want to know what lies ahead of me. And the only way you can do that is with a healthy mind, body, and soul. And that's where I go, where we come in as far as changing the way you think, your thought process.
Yeah, no, that sounds like you really have a deep spiritual component to your philosophy as well. Is that something that you grew up with as well? Is it a church-based kind of thing, or is it something that you came up on your own as well?
Well, I'm not religious at all. I don't have any denomination, you know. I'm not a religious person, but I am very spiritual, and I come from a spiritual-based family. You know, I do believe that there is a higher power guiding me. I do believe that there's a higher power in control, because all of the things that have happened to me in my life, is not of man. It cannot be of man. And taking a positive approach to things and thinking good things or expecting great things, it has helped me to make a whole nother revelation on how I view things. So now, instead of expecting the worst, I expect the best. You know, people say, you know, I expect the worst so I won't be disappointed. And usually if that's what you're thinking, you know, we are our most dominant thoughts. And the things that you think the most are the things that you attract. So I decided, well, let me see if I start thinking positive and start being around positive people and start feeling positive things and trying to detach myself from negativity or eliminate negative thoughts from my thought process. Let's see how this works. It doesn't happen overnight. It's something that you have to train yourself to do. You have to train your mind to do it. And throughout the years, I've started doing that, and now I'm in a position where I only expect the best. I only want to be around positive people. I only want my thought process to be about positive things. And by doing that, the outcomes, the blessings have been overwhelming. So I know that that is not of man. It cannot be of man. I know that it is of a higher power. Now, everybody has their own interpretation of God and who they serve, but I do believe there's a higher power guiding me. I do believe that I'm moving in a direction and discovering the undiscovered on my journey. I do believe I'm here for a purpose. My life has meaning and purpose, and I do believe that I'm relevant to changing, to making a positive difference. And all of that's coming because that's where I'm being guided by higher power. And I share that with other people. And I look back at my life, or people can look at my life and see that this is not a game. It's not a joke. It's actually happening. It really is actually happening.
No, that's real deep, and definitely appreciate that philosophy. I think you're right on the money with that, and I think that's why you get such great results. I just want to ask you, like, as far as the people you're training, what are some of the common things that they're looking for when they join up with you and they should try to get your services?
Well, mostly the majority of people want to lose weight. That is their biggest issue. Is, you know, they want to lose weight. And, you know, and the first thing I ask them is, why do you want to lose weight? And, you know, I get answers like, for my family reunion or for my 10-year high school reunion, or I'm going on a beach vacation this summer, and or I want to fit in. My friend's having a wedding, and, you know, and I want to get in a wedding dress. And to me, those are all the wrong reasons for anybody to want to lose weight. You need to want to lose weight for yourself just to be healthy in order to live longer, to feel good, and to be the way we're supposed to be. And if you're not ready to commit to that, then I probably can't help you, because you have to actually want it. It can't be a temporary thing. It has to be something that you want. So when we bring people in and we sit down and we have a consultation and we figure out exactly what your goals are and why you want to do it, then my first thing is, you know, how about let's think about it this way. You come into a training session with me, for instance. I'm not a boot camp type trainer. I'm not a sergeant of arms or drill sergeant type trainer. You come in and we want to make it fun like a party. We want to have a great time. We want to make sure that you want to come back to the next session, and instead of saying, oh, no, I don't, you know, I'm going to be laid out on the ground. See, we don't use words in our sessions like my trainer killed me today, or my trainer is going to kill me, and anything like that, or I'm going to be in pain in this training session. When you do that, that's what you put in your thought process. My trainer is going to kill me. So your thought process is saying danger, danger. So after a while, you start making excuses on why not to come, because you already told your thought process in the beginning that this is going to hurt. This is going to be hard. This is going to be something that I'm not going to want to do. So coming to our sessions, you come into our session, let's have fun like a party. What are the favorite exercises that you like to do? What are the things that you do when you exercise? What about dancing? Do you dance? Let's put some movement into it. Let's find your five favorite exercises that you do, and we're going to figure out a way to make them work for you in order for them to be effective when they work for you. We do things like that. I want the client, I want you as an individual to come in and know that you're losing weight, but you're having fun doing it, and you're doing it for you all the time. When you do that, your thought process starts to change because now you're feeling like, I can do this. This is good. And then not only is your thought process changing while you're losing weight, your thought process is changing in everything else. You're not as stressed out as you was before. Your decision-making now becomes more, becomes better than it did 2 weeks ago. Things that you, that bothered you and worried you before, now they're not so there's not so much worrisome going on anymore. All because you're now changing the way you think. You're finding out that you can do things because you're telling yourself, this is not as hard as I thought it was, or this is not the way other society has programmed it to be. Why do we think that getting in shape and being in shape and being the way we're supposed to be should be the hardest thing in the world? We shouldn't be thinking like that. It should be the, it's backwards thinking. You know, we look at all the commercials and everything on TV, and it's showing you how to be obese, how to eat wrong, how to be wrong, and how to do wrongful thinking. Why should it be that way? It's backwards. And we have to take a whole different approach to that in order to get positive results.
You know, I definitely like the way that you phrase that, because I also, like, I know that, you know, you're on top of all the trends, and one of the cool things that I find right now is that there's a lot on even the simplest things, just like walking, and how walking is just as an important thing. And I know that you incorporate fun and activity, and you do get a workout, but it also puts into a perspective that you don't have to die and
right.
be miserable at what you do in order to get the results that you want, which I, you know, I think a lot of people really need to do that. Because I think, I mean, again, growing up, that's what you thought. You had to, you know, sweat and not be able to move the next day just to get
right.
certain results. So, and just listening to you, you definitely don't agree with that statement.
Not at all. I don't think that that is true. That's what we put in people's heads, and then that's what they expect. Look, you for example, everybody out there that's on Facebook, look at all your friends or even yourself, and you post all your gym pictures. Oh, I'm in the gym today. My legs feel like spaghetti. Oh, I got to do this. I'm doing this. No pain, no gain. Or hard work pays off. You see all of the negative comments in order to make it look positive. We're always saying something bad, and then 2 weeks later, you don't see any more posts from that same person because now they fell off because they overtrained themselves in the beginning thinking that going all out and falling out every day, that that was the way it's supposed to be. Some people go to the gym and do the easiest things and then come out and say that they're in pain because you already told yourself that that was how it's supposed to be. So now your thought process really made it that way. So the next day you wake up, you're actually in pain for the little bit of work that you did that barely did anything to your muscle tension at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. You get what you expect, right? That's just what it is. Absolutely. Now, a quick question on that. Like, do you have basic routines or you meet the client halfway?
Okay, well, as far as personal trainer, I mean, it started as personal training, and then it ended up being group training. Now we're traveling across the country doing workshops, and then it ended up being freelance modeling, and all of this stuff came a part of a journey that I have never even aspired doing. But as far as personal training, one thing I do, whatever session that I have with a client, I actually do the work with the client. So if I have a session at 2, 3, 4, and 5, I'm working out with that client, 2, 3, 4, and 5, because I want you to see that I'm going to do this with you. Let's do this together. So it's absolutely a part of my training that I'm going to work out with you. And because I do that, the clients have fun. Because I'm doing that, they're saying, okay, he's not just standing on the side screaming and yelling, you know, run, what are you doing, you know, just 10 push-ups and, you know, all of that. And I'm actually going to do whatever I ask you to do, I'm going to do it with you and at your pace. The only thing that I ask you is that the next time we come into another session, let's increase our speed and our endurance. So I'm going to start at your pace, but we're going to keep on increasing speed and endurance as we go along. We're going to do something different as we go along, but we're going to make sure it's effective in helping you. Now, group training, the same thing. When we have a group of 20, 30 people, we're going to do the exercises and I'm going to do them with you. No group training really is the same for me because if I go to one city, I just really feel the crowd. And I'll pick five or six people out of the crowd and I'll say, what's your favorite exercise? We'll have some music on and they might have jumping jacks. Okay, let's the whole group, let's do jumping jacks. Then we'll go to the next person and they pick their favorite exercise and we'll do that. It gets to the point where people are raising their hand. They want to get picked, you know, and everybody's laughing and having a great time. So that's my concept and the way that I train.
Yeah, that makes sense. That is really cool. I can see why people enjoy going to your classes. Now, what do you think is like one of the common roadblocks? I know obviously it's a mental thing and that, you know, going in there trying to kill yourself and you get turned off by things. But what other mental roadblocks or just roadblocks in general do you think that prohibit people from getting in the best shapes of their lives?
I think the major roadblock for people is they're embarrassed about their weight. And I think you should be more embarrassed about not doing something about your weight. The major roadblock is people won't come and do something because they're embarrassed about how they look. So that slows them down or they don't want to come because they think everybody else is looking at them. But if you came with the attitude that everybody else there is there for the same reason you are, some people may be a little bit heavier and some people may not be, but we're all there for the same reason. So don't be embarrassed about going to an exercise class or a gym about your weight. Be embarrassed about not going to an exercise class or a gym about your weight. I think that is the biggest mental block right there, is being embarrassed about your weight before you do something about it.
Okay, that being said, and, you know, obviously there's some people who I actually know who have that issue as well. What other suggestions would you even give for that? Like, I remember one of the ones that I used to try to say is like, you know what, you have to go where you feel comfortable or when a time that you feel comfortable. It might be with a friend. It might be that you think that you might have to go a little earlier in the morning when you might not feel as much pressure to be noticed or things like that. Is that a good recommendation or do you have something better than that?
Well, I think that, you know, you should be comfortable wherever you go, but when you're shopping around for someone to help you or you're shopping around for a gym or you're shopping around for an exercise program to get in, you need to shop around for somebody, for a place that's going to make you feel the comfortability that you need in order to start. So, you know, again, when people are coming to us for a consultation or whatever, that's the first thing we tell them. Don't be embarrassed about your weight. Come on. You know, there's going to be other people there in the same predicament. And even if they're not, everybody's going to be there and we're there for the same reason. And come on. And everybody really supports each other. The best thing to do is go to a group session. You know, if you go to a group session where they're are people that are in the same predicament that you already see once you get there that you are not in this alone and you are not the only person that looks like that. You know, so do that. Mm-hmm. Go to if you hear of AC Atlanta coming to your town, come to one of our group sessions and you will see how it goes on. We're going to Pittsburgh August the 8th. We'll be at Hallen Park Reservoir August the 8th. And already, we already have over 50 people that signed up for this free workout session in the park. And that's my whole philosophy. Come as you are. Look at our videos. Look at what we have done. Look at the videos of certain places that we went. Look at the testimonies from the people that we've helped. It tells you right there, once you make that first step, you have to be the one to say, I want this bad. I want this for myself. Once you make that first step and move forward, there's nothing that's going to be able to stop you. It has to be up to you. I can't make you come out to a session. I'm not the one that's going to be able to coach you to come to an exercise session. That has to be your first changing thought process that you do. It has to be I want this for myself, so it doesn't matter how I look because I'm going out there and I'm doing it to get better, and I won't get better until I get out there and do it. You do that, you've already crossed the biggest hurdle that there is. You change your thought process. It started right there, and that in itself is going to make you powerful moving forward.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. You got to do it. You just have to get the first step rolling, and then it goes right into the bettering and feeling more comfortable about yourself.
Yeah.
So
right.
what do you tell your clients and just, you know, all the people that, you know, in the group sessions, and obviously you have a great following. Like, what the role of dieting? You know, exercise is one of the things that, you know, a lot of people think is the first step to it. What do you think of the role and diet plays in, you know, getting
well,
the body you want?
As far as dieting, you know, everybody's metabolism is different. And you have to really know what works for you, because what works for one person not necessarily works for another person. So, again, we go by what we're programmed to think and what society says. You know, 70% of the abs are made in the kitchen and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, I'm not knocking that, because it more or less is a true statement. You know, but I'm one to say that I'm an ice cream eater, and I love to eat ice cream. I'll eat a gallon in one setting. But if you look at me and see me, you would not believe that I do eat ice cream the way I eat ice cream. But, you know, I have it in my thought process, Omar, enjoy the taste, eliminate the waste. So I'm going to enjoy that ice cream. I'm not going to regret it. I'm not going to have any guilty feelings about it. But I know it's going to work itself off when I do exercise and work out. Now, as far as other people, I'm not telling you to go out and get a gallon of ice cream and say AC said it was okay to eat it. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is you have to know your own metabolism. It is really good to eat healthy. We have three different health sponsors that we work with that provide healthy eating menus on our free 90-day challenge. We give the links to three different sponsors that showed you how you can eat healthy and taste good. And one thing I've noticed is in this world of healthy eating and healthy living is that the healthy food that you eat most of the time tastes better than the bad food that you eat. But we've always been programmed that if you eat healthy, the only thing it's going to do is not going to have any taste. It's going to be bland. It's going to be dry. You know, the chicken that you eat is going to be dry. The vegetables will be bland and whatnot. But the recipes that from the links that we have on our healthy eating menus show you how you can make things and make them taste great. Even myself experimenting in the kitchen and making different things healthy, we're going to start doing some videos on that as well, because I've been in the kitchen and I've just been putting things together, and I figured out ways how to make pancakes filled with protein taste so great that you can eat four or five of them and they're not going to put on any fat, they don't have any cholesterol, just by the ingredients that you put in, and it tastes better than regular pancakes. You know, so I do provide healthy eating menus, but again, it is up to the person and their metabolism as to what you can eat and what you cannot eat. Eating like every 3 hours if you're working out and you're exercising, small portions, you know, all day long, that helps and that keeps your metabolism going good. Drinking a lot of water is great. It's not only great for the metabolism, it's not only great for the heart, it's not only great for the blood flow, but it's great for the skin. It's great for everything. Water is the ultimate for everything that we do. We need water for life. And, you know, sometimes I don't understand when people say that they don't drink water, you know, and that is actually what we need to survive. Everything that we eat is water-based. So, you know, those are the type of things that I tell you. Healthy eating. You know, we have a 30-day soul food diet menu. We have one of our sponsors, Joe Oat Patties, who does vegan menu, veggie burgers. And then we even have a healthy eating menu that comes straight from CNN, and it gives you all the ingredients to make breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks and desserts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know it's a lot with the dieting. You know, it's a lot of information out there. There's so many different lifestyles that you can subscribe to, you know, from paleo and vegan, vegetarian. I mean, there's just so many. Like, and that's why I was like, I like how you're demonstrating that you have to know your body and what your metabolism is. And how do you feel about things like, you know, like these intolerances and stuff that come up? It's common, at least, you know, around here in New York, there's a lot of a big movement about like gluten free, and there's, again, like there's just always something new that they put the public out there to try to avoid. How do you feel about, you know, those type of things as well?
Again, you know, everything that is being put out there, do you notice how everything that is promoted now is promoted by fear? You know, it tells you if you do this, then this is going to happen. If you do that, then that is going to happen. And again, Omar, that's what goes in our thought process. You know, not to get off the subject, but you look at the pharmaceutical ads on TV. You have to take one pill to help you for one thing, but it gives you 7 or 8 other side effects that you got to take extra pills to help you get through the side effects. And I think that that is the same way, you know what I mean? And that's the same way things are promoted as far as eating. It's the same thing. Gluten-free is good. Cholesterol-free is good. I mean, it is a known fact that cholesterol and fatty foods can block your arteries and whatnot. So things that are you know, good for the blood flow, those things are good. But my thing that I tell everybody is don't be caught up by fear. Don't be caught up by what somebody tells you is going to be bad for you when you already believe in your mind that this is not going to harm me. It hasn't harmed me all of my life, so it's not going to harm me, and there shouldn't be anyone who can. If I've been doing this for 20-something years and I've not gotten any of the results that the fear part is telling me that I should have, you shouldn't go 20-something years and then on your 25th year you hear all the fear ads and say, oh, this can happen to me. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be that way. So I'm looking at all of the trends and everything. Raw vegetables are always great. I mean, you get the most nutrients out of raw vegetables, and I recommend that to anybody. You know, the things that are naturally here from the earth to eat, those are put here for a reason, you know. So, but, again, your metabolism is different from mine, and you have to know what is good for you and what isn't. So the things that are not good for you, then you should know that these things are going to hurt me in the long run, or they're going to be harmful for me in the long run. Even if I eat them now, 10 or 15 years down the line, I'm going to wish I didn't do that in the first place. But don't do it because of fear. Do it because you're saying this is not what's supposed to be in my system.
Now, that being said, I'm glad that you brought a couple examples up. Is there anything that you tell your clients to absolutely avoid? Like, listen, you know, your ice cream is, you know, it's for you, but if there's something that you're like, listen, you can't eat this, you know, I don't care what anybody says, okay, how about you want it? Is there anything that you say, listen, you just can't have it?
Well, I can only speak for myself, and, you know, again, I don't tell anybody what to eat or what not to eat. Speak for myself. You know, back in the day, I used to eat pork. I was a bacon and a barbecue rib eater, and the same with beef. You know, give me a double quarter pounder or whatever, and all of those things. And maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, I just kind of, like, totally stopped eating pork and beef, and it wasn't anything that I planned on doing either. It just happened. And I didn't acquire the taste for it anymore. But one thing that I've learned by not eating, I just don't eat beef and I don't eat pork. But one thing that I've noticed comparing to when I was eating beef and pork is one thing I noticed is that I had my blood pressure was higher eating pork. And now, you know, I have no problems with blood pressure. I always felt heavy eating beef and pork, and now I feel light as a feather with everything that I eat, but I have a good weight mass, you know, so it just feels like my internal system is just like it flows better for some reason or another. I think maybe a year ago or something, you know, I ate something that had pork in it, and I didn't know, and I got extremely sick after that. So, you know, my body rejected it, and it made me really sick. So there's, like, something absolutely I can't tell somebody what not to eat, but I can tell you what I don't eat. You know, that's the only thing, because, again, my metabolism is going to be different from somebody else's. Like, one trainer or health person will tell people, do not eat ice cream. You know, people are going to tell you that's a no-no. Just absolutely, you should not be eating ice cream. But I'm telling people, you know, I would be a hypocrite if I tell people that, you know, the only thing I eat are vegetables and chicken and, you know, and that's it. And I got a box full of the Magnum peanut butter chocolate ice cream bars in my freezer, you know. So I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's tough to live in those two worlds. So,
right.
That's for sure. I also, like, wanted to ask you, because I know you kind of stumbled upon the beef and pork thing. Do you actually have any protocols that you, like, kind of like elimination diets where you tell someone, you know what, stay away from this for a little while, introduce it back into your system, see how you feel? Do you ever do that with any clients or any of your followers?
I tell them my journey about the beef and the pork and how I do feel. You know, I tell them there's certain things that I don't have a taste for anymore, and a lot of the extra stuff that I don't eat anymore, like macaroni and cheese. You know, I found out the vegan version of macaroni and cheese tastes better than the macaroni and cheese that we're eating with the dairy, with all of the dairy and cholesterol and all of that kind of stuff. You know, so there are some things that I can give people alternatives and say, try this instead of this and see how you like it, you know. And it's like the burgers, you know, like I said, I love some beef, the burgers and hooking them up with the cheese. But then I came across the veggie burgers from Joe's Oat Patty, and I came across the mushroom burgers that you can make. And the mushroom burgers, they have the same texture of beef. So you're eating a mushroom burger, and it's better. But you feel like you're eating a ground beef hamburger. You know what I mean? So those are the type of things. So, I kind of tell people, you know, try this. And I tell them, this is what works for me. But I can, you know, I can't say it's going to work for you. You have to be the decision maker on that. But just try it maybe for a week and see how you feel. You know, see if you can make it work for a week. Or I ask them, what are the things that you like to eat the most? And people will tell me the things that they like to eat the most. And usually there's a vegan version for every single thing meal that we eat, you know, on the flip side of vegan. So, you know, I give them the recipe or point them in the right direction to try to tell them, eat this same thing. This is the vegan version of this, and see how you like it, like chicken nuggets and chicken strips and different things like that, you know, the meatballs and stuff like that, you know, giving them vegan versions. And some people come back and say, I loved it and I feel great. Some people come back and say, no, I'm going to stick with what I got, you know, and that's your own personal choice.
Well, I don't know if you heard, it's kind of, I guess, relatively breaking news, but, you know, I'm a big fan of bacon. That's one thing that I don't know if I can give up. That's my bacon is your ice cream. So
I didn't hear, though.
Which I'm dying. If I get a hold of this, and I'll call you up, I'll let you know how it is. But supposedly there's a new, it's obviously not new, but it's a new product that is seaweed that's supposed to taste just like bacon.
Wow.
It was on CNN. It was, and they're, you know, everyone's all excited about this seaweed that tastes like bacon. And I guess because the texture and the saltiness must, like, mimic the taste of bacon. But I'm definitely going to try it. Once I get my hands on that, I'll let you know how that is.
Let me know. I would love that. I would love to see that. See how that turns out.
That's kind of new trend that's going on. I got, like I said, I got to get my hands on it. But how about coffee? You know, that's something, and I know I'm kind of belaboring like the you know specific foods and stuff, but
right.
And I think I know what your answer is. But do you have any perspective on that as well? Because I know that's
well. Actually, you know, I don't have any perspective on coffee because I don't like coffee. I've never liked mm-hmm. it from a little boy. I didn't even like the smell of coffee. And, you know, and I come from a big family and of coffee drinkers, and you would think that, you know, coffee would just automatically be a part of my genetics. But I never mm-hmm. did like the smell of coffee, and I never did like coffee. And when I tasted coffee, it was the same way I felt like it was going to taste nasty. So I never, ever was a coffee drinker. I've never even dabbled in coffee. And when people say, you know, well, try it, you know, it's something that grows on you. And I always would, why would I want something to grow on me that I didn't like it before? So, you know, that's one thing I can't say about coffee. I don't know what it does to you or how it makes you feel or if it's good for you or if it puts on weight. One thing I do know is that a lot of the supplements that people take, like pre-workout drinks and things like that, contain caffeine, you know. So, and I see how hype it makes people, you know, makes people be in the gym. So, but I'm not a coffee drinker, so I can't really, you know, give you any perspective on coffee.
Oh, okay, cool, man. No, I respect that. That's like, you know, these. I'm just trying to throw out a couple of advices that I know the audience generally has.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
always
sure.
About coffee. You got your little baking game on. How about, you know, alcohol even, you know, that those kind of things that I know that there's a lot of people in the health industry who have debatable kinds of things. And that's why it's like coffee, for instance, they have a lot of people think that it's very bad for you. And then they have some people who think that it has benefits for brain health and Alzheimer's and all kinds of different things. And then same thing with like alcohol. Like, you know, everybody said, you know, red wine has its benefits. Then there's people who said alcohol is poison in any form. So it's interesting to see, you know, an expert like yourself, you know, opinion on all these different kinds of things that pop up in our culture nowadays, you know.
I definitely, you know, understand what you're saying. And again, you know, like I hear both sides of the things, which like coffee and alcohol. I hear both sides of the fences of how people, you know, some people say it's beneficial and some people say it isn't. You know, I can't speak on coffee, but as far as alcohol, I think anything in moderation is good. You know, I'll sit down and have a drink with somebody here and there, and I have no problem with that. And, you know, it's never been a problem with me with alcohol. Now, if you're a frequent drinker or somebody that you know, may have an alcohol problem, you know, that's something else. That's something totally different. But if you drink alcohol and you're a moderate drinker, then go ahead and do it. You know, somebody asked me about beer, you know, isn't that good to put on calories? And I had to tell them the same thing about coffee. I just think that I just don't like beer. I don't like the taste of beer, you know, so I can't tell you about that. But if you ask me something about maybe a Grey Goose or some rum or gin, I can probably tell you, you know, which ones to drink and which ones to stay away from. But other than
right.
that, and I can tell you, that, you know, it never had any bad effect on me. But again, I can only speak for me and just tell people what I've experienced in eating or drinking certain products. I can't tell you what we're programmed to believe by the fear of those products. I can only tell you how they affected myself, my own metabolism.
Gotcha. And I think I got to ask this so that we can also get back onto, you know, the frame of mind kind of thing. I read The Secret many, many years ago, and I was rolling through the book. I was eating it up, absorbing everything. I thought it was great. And it was a point, and I'll never forget it because it was like profound, and I just got turned off by the book. And I want to know your opinion to see if I was wrong by feeling this way. But it basically was telling you that the food doesn't make you fat. If you believe that the food is going to make you fat, you will get fat. And I just felt like, wow, this, I really was bothered by that statement. I really thought, like, you know, what are you trying to say that you can eat, go out and eat McDonald's every day and you're not going to gain any weight? Like, after talking to you, I don't know if you're, I'm curious to see what was your opinion on like that. Was I wrong to abandon the book so prematurely, or was there something in that message that I could have got out of it?
Well, I've never read the book, The Secret, and I never read any things about Law of Attraction, because most people, when they start hearing or feeling the way I think, that's the first thing they ask me. And, you know, honestly, I've never read either one or been involved in any type of group things about Law of Attraction or Secret. But what I can say is this. I think that the mind is very powerful, Omar, and I think that if you keep moving forward and going through uncharted waters, you keep unlocking certain parts of your mind that are really not open, just, you know, basically. And I believe that the mind is so powerful that you can get to a point where if you believe it, you can achieve it. If you really believe it in your mind that certain things happen or can happen, it can be done. And a good example is this, is look at how women who may have lost a child or may want to be pregnant so bad that they can trigger something in their brain and believe that they're pregnant and actually grow the belly and everything and not have a baby inside. It happens.
Mm.
You know, so everything that, I mean, that is actually a clinical word for that, and I'm not sure what it's called right now, but everything happens. Look at people who get supernatural strength when they didn't know that they could do it. Look at a mother protecting their child, and they come to a point, if they had to lift a car up off their child, I can guarantee you a mother who may be 90 pounds soaking wet can lift a tire up off of their child if their child was pinned underneath that tire. Where did all of that adrenaline come from? When you get to the point in your mind that your mind is powerful, and there is something, I really believe that there is something more to experience than being born, living and existing and dying. I think that there's actually something more for us to know as you are alive to experience. Now look at, which is a fact, that we've only used 1/3 of our brain. We only use 5% of our brain is what they know, or 5% of our DNA is what they can figure out. The other part is the other three parts of your brain, and the other 95% of your DNA, they have absolutely no knowledge of what it is, and they call it junk DNA. Junk DNA because they have no knowledge what it means. Or the parts of your brain that we don't use, do you think that everybody talks about the only person that is perfect is God? They're God. Mostly in every denomination, they'll say that nobody's perfect but God. So let me ask, I pose this question to you. Do you think that a perfect creator would make imperfect people? We are all different. We are all different individuals. We all have different DNA. We all have different fingerprints. We all have different ears. We all have different voice patterns. We all have different personalities. On purpose, each individual or people are different. There's 7 billion people on the earth that they know of, and every last one of us are different. That has to be from a creator that did this on purpose. So if my mind is not all the way unlocked, but if I'm moving forward, and as I'm moving forward, I'm feeling being able to do things that I never thought that I was able to do before. I notice I unlocked another part of my brain. I unlocked another part of my mind that I didn't know that I had this power before. And it makes me want to continue to move forward and forward and forward. So I'm not going to say that was a false statement and that you just, you know, you threw the book down or whatever and you abandon it. What I can say is that you stopped your thought process to believe that can't happen. And because of that, now your thought process is limited to where it's going to stop at because you believe that can't happen. But you may be the same person that say that anything is possible. You may be the same person that says, if you trust in your faith and you believe in your faith, then faith will get you through. You may be the same person that says, walk by faith and not by sight. You may be that same person, but how can you believe what you're saying if you cut that off and say, that can't happen, that's impossible?
Yeah, no, I agree. It was something that I always remembered, you know, and I read the book, you know, we're talking about maybe 10 years ago, and
right.
My perspective has changed. I still,
right.
I almost don't want to say that I did it just because I didn't believe it. I thought almost it was like in the world that we were living in, especially 10 years, I think we're getting better. I think we're becoming more health conscious. I think we'll be, you know, putting in the right things in our body and we're becoming more knowledgeable about these things. But I was like, how could these people, like, and maybe I took it like advocate, you can go to McDonald's every day or you can go
to Burger King.
Get all this garbage. And I said, nah, that's not the message that I would, you know, subscribe to. But conceptually, I think it makes more sense to me now as I'm getting a little older and more on your page as far as, like, you know, positive thinking and activating your mind. I could get on board a little better, you know. I think it would definitely hit me at a certain point.
And the reason I say that is because, again, once again, I'm the biggest ice cream eater in the world, you know. And if you look at anything that society say, the way my body is and the way society says ice cream will make you look, it's two different things. But in my mind says enjoy this, enjoy the taste, and eliminate the weight. Ice cream is not going to make you look what program or make you fear that it's going to be. Enjoy this. Don't worry about it. And that's how I feel about ice cream. So I don't have any guilt about ice cream. And I look at myself and I say, well, nothing happened, you know, the next day. Well, I'm still the same size. You know what I mean? So it got to the point where I actually believe it, you know, and you are your most dominant thought. So now I believe that I can eat a gallon of ice cream and it's not going to do anything to me. That's what I believe.
Wow. Hey, listen, I feel the same way about bacon. So,
right, exactly. See, exactly. And so I would not ever tell you that bacon is bad for you and you need to stop eating bacon or anything like that. I can never say that to you. You would have to figure that out on your own whether or not it's bad or good for you. But again, as far as society puts out, ice cream is the worst thing for people to do if they are losing weight or if they get to a point where they don't want to gain weight. And I'm sorry, I can't be an advocate of that.
Hey, listen, I know where you're coming from. I know where you're coming from. So it's tough. You know, I know people can wrap their heads around things and thinking that they're not with it's going to be beneficial to them, but I'm going to have to work on that. I'm not there with ice cream.
Right.
I kind of fall into the mainstream society. I love ice cream. I can eat ice cream every day.
Right.
But I got to work on the mind a little bit.
Right.
My life will be a lot better, I guarantee it. But, AC, you're a great, great guest. I just want to give you an opportunity to let the audience know how to get in contact with you, maybe even tell them about, you know, your program, you know, the 90-day weight loss challenge. I just want to give you the floor and give you an opportunity. I mean, we've been actually rocking for almost, you know, 50 minutes right now. And, you know, I want to just give you an opportunity to just tell us a little bit more about how to get in touch with you and, you know, upcoming events and stuff of that nature.
Okay, sure. Of course, I'm on Facebook at AC Atlanta. We also have a AC's Get Lean and Fit page on Facebook. So if you go on Facebook and put in AC Atlanta, that comes to my personal page. If you go to Facebook and put in AC's Get Lean and Fit, that'll take you to the fitness page. And on that page, we post a lot of exercises. When we have our challenges, they're posted daily on that page, on the Facebook page. We post testimonies from clients or from people who are actually working out. So it's great to get on that page. It's like a support page at AC's Get Lean and Fit on Facebook. You can visit our website. It's myacatlanta.com, myacatlanta.com. And if you go on there, you can You can see actually all the places we've been, the highlight videos we have of different cities we've been to. The 90-day challenge is on there where you can click on and you can actually follow it day by day. The healthy eating links are on there as well where you can click on and you know, figure out a menu that's best for you. Again, so that's at myacatlanta.com. You can get me on Twitter at AC Atlanta or Instagram at AC Atlanta. Any one of the social medias, just AC Atlanta, and connect with us. And, you know, we answer questions. So if you inbox me, pretty much you're going to get an answer back. On AC's Get Lean and Fit, there's, you know, other trainers that are admins on that page. So if you have a question, an exercise question, something that you might want to know that help you lose weight or help you reach your goals, click on the inbox us a message. We'll definitely get back in touch with you. We're here to help people, to inspire, to motivate. That's what we do. So we'll be more than happy to connect with anybody who wants to connect with us.
Sounds great. Again, I really, really appreciate you being on the show. I know I learned a lot today. I hope everyone else did. And hope they reach out to you and, you know, catch you as you're flying across the country doing all these great events and stuff. That's one, you know, thing that I find really intriguing about you. You know, you don't keep it just in Atlanta. You're all over the place. You know, that's a good thing,
that's
too.
All right.
Well,
so, man, I want to thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. I had a great time chopping it up with you.
Likewise. Thanks, Laif. You have a good night, all right?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. That was AC Atlanta. I like to take it back to some physical personal training kind of stuff on occasion. And like I said, I do have a lot of personal trainers who come and actually want to get on the show, but I thought AC was the type of trainer and exercise enthusiast that I could appreciate, you know, how he incorporates the mind and the mindset and, you know, beliefs. You know, hey, listen, man, if the guy can eat ice cream every day and still be in great shape, I think I have something to learn from him. So, you know, give him a look. Take, you know, again, he's got some great content on the web. Take a look at his stuff. You know, catch him anytime you can as he gets across the country. All right, everybody, this is Omar Cumberbatch from the Wellness Ultimatum Radio. I want to thank you again for listening. Have a good night.